It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Steve Bloomer's Washing for our first regular podcast of 2024. It's a new year and Derby have apparently made it their New Year's resolution to concentrate on the league with a meek home defeat in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy to Bradford. But let's not dwell on that because we've got the best away record in League One. We're the form team in League One. And we're staring down the top two ahead of what is surely a pivotal January transfer window. I'm Chris Parsons, a belated Happy New Year to all of you and loads to get our teeth into since our last podcast. And with me to gently usher in the new year, 2024. Chris Smith, hi mate.
Hey Chris, how you doing?
Very, very good. And Tom Martin, how are you, sir?
Very well, thanks Chris. Happy New Year to both of you, Chris Squared.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. So, look, chaps, straight into it. Where's your heads at right now? I mean, a classic Derby County up and down last few games, the massive high of Oxford since we last spoke, then the crushing defeat at home to Peterborough, then the relative high of easing past Fleetwood at the weekend, then that low of losing to League Two Bradford City. But I think overall, Chris, the trajectory is on the up. I mean, it's your first time back on the pod, I think, since August. So, look, how are you feeling on Derby's promotion chances compared to where you were at the start of the season?
Well, compared to the start of the season, I'm probably back where I was. But I think I've been around the houses to get there. So I think before the season started, I was reasonably bullish about it. I thought I'm definitely a half full merchant, as you know. And at the start of the season, I was thinking there's no reason why we won't be top two. I didn't see an Ipswich or a Plymouth or a Sheffield. And I just thought, there's a few teams who did some interesting things, but I thought there's no reason we can't get top two. Fast forward to after Stevenage, and I was thinking the manager's not going to be here by Wednesday, and I don't really know what's going to happen next. And the whole thing was just brutal, really. And then, in fairness to Warne, whatever you think of him, it's been a cracking couple of months, hasn't it? And right here, right now, January is obviously pivotal, and I'm sure we'll talk about that shortly. But, I'm not seeing any reason now why we don't at least finish second at a canter, if not win the league.
Wow. Okay. Mm. That's the fighting talk I want to hear. I mean, Tom, you've always been also a glass half full merchant, I think, of the three or four of us on the podcast. I think when things were at their worst under Warne, you were always sort of, take your time. It's a long old season. A lot can change. Plenty of games to go. For me, I don't know. We asked this on our Discord and I think and on X as well. And the consensus mainly was people couldn't quite see us as top two. And that was after we'd just beaten Fleetwood. Some were like, look, we're winning games that we may not have won before. But others were sort of saying, look, they're clearly the worst team in the division. We're not going to play them again. Let's not get too excited. So how about you? I mean, a lot of fans seem to see it as Derby being one team in a four-horse race for the top two. Do you agree with that? Or are you with Chris on, are we top two material?
Yeah, I do agree in terms of the four-horse race. I think I think Oxford are obviously a reasonable side. They're in fifth. Barnsley are 3 points further behind with a game in hand. So they can't be discounted because both of those teams are on reasonable form despite Derby's win at Oxford. But I agree with Chris. I've always thought that the squad on paper is good enough to be top two at the beginning of the season. It wasn't going brilliantly at the sort of October stage, but it was October. Like you need time for signings to settle in and systems to sort of work and things like that. And And what we've seen since October, since losing to Stevenage, has been some pretty good performances at times, some functional performances at times. And actually, the defeat against Peterborough, yes, we weren't great, but we were seconds away from, well, we were 7 or 8 minutes away from 3 points and seconds away from a hard-earned point, which would have given us 4 points against Peterborough and made all the difference. We are currently 4 points off top. And it's ifs and buts, isn't it? But if Peterborough hadn't scored that goal, we'd have won 50 points. And if Portsmouth hadn't scored that ridiculous equaliser way back in September, we'd actually be top of the league right now. So there's a few sliding doors moments of what Derby have had so far this season where the luck hasn't necessarily gone in our direction. And I think there's lots more to come from this Derby team. And I'm fully on board with Chris's promotion championship bus.
I mean, if you're going to ask me what order those four teams are finishing now, I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, Chris, you do wonder if that Pompey second half of the season slump is on its way. I mean, you know, lost to Cheltenham at the weekend, had a few bad results recently. I think they've just lost one of their best players to injury as well for the whole season, haven't they? Do you see them being top two, or what do you reckon to the current league leaders?
Yeah, I mean, there's an obvious X factor to this entire conversation would be in the January window. And I think we've seen enough of League One as a general standard this year to see that one or two really smart loans could make a massive difference to any of those top four. I mean, if I was looking at it right here, right now, I would probably say us, and if I was pushed, maybe Bolton to just edge Peterborough, because I just can't forgive Peterborough for messing up against Sheffield last year. I just think if they've got that in their locker, they've got it in their locker. And their philosophy of, as much as you'd love it if it was us, their whole thing of we'll score more than you is great. But I think Bolton and Derby have just got more of a functional, we're playing somebody below average at home and we just beat them, you know. And I think Derby and Bolton over the piece will probably come out on top if on today. But again, as I say, the January window, I think one or two big signings could make a massive difference to anybody. You know, you bring a player in who scores, you know, 5-7 goals and 5-7 assists in this run-in, it's going to make a huge difference, isn't it, to any team. So I think, you know, that's the X factor. And again, the obvious one for us as well, you know, you and I even joked about it on Saturday, Chris, you know, who wants to see our defence without cash-in? Because I don't, you know. So that's the X factor. But if I was pushed, I'd say us and Bolton.
Yeah, and well, I mean, we're not really going to go into transfers and that sort of thing, but I mean, little rumblings about Blackett Taylor at Charlton and this, that and the other, but there's plenty of time to go in the window, and I'm sure plenty of other ITK nonsense to drift in and out of social media in the meantime. But on the positive note, if it is a positive, we don't have any more cup competitions to worry about now, Tom. I don't know where I can't really remember what you said about your feelings on the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, the competition formerly known as the Pizza Cup. Would have been a nice day out of Wembley if we'd have got there. You can't tell me that fans wouldn't have enjoyed it if, I think I was joking with some mates on Saturday, if, you know, how would you have reacted if Derby had won the BSM Trophy? Is it like winning a friendly, or it's not full on limbs, is it? But on the other hand, if it's 1-1 in the 90th minute and Howran sticks it in top bins to win you some silverware at Wembley, you can't tell me you're not going to go absolutely nuts at that moment. But doesn't matter now, we're out. Was it a distraction? Did you really care? How did you feel about it?
It's one of those competitions where in the last two seasons I felt that we could have gone quite far, and I thought that it was a good opportunity to continue and for the sort of backup players to show their worth, and they absolutely didn't. Paul Warne was scathing about it, and rightly so. Ultimately, I don't care, but it would have been nice to, we should have beaten Bradford at home, let's face it. We would then be into the area semi-final, and there's teams in there where you go, Derby were up there with being one of the best teams in that, quite comfortably. I think Bolton was still in the competition. But again, I haven't really sort of followed it. It's one of those competitions that you get to the semi-final and then the area final, and then you're like, hang on, we're very close to Wembley, and then everyone gets excited. But there must have been, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 there last night, if that. I haven't looked at the attendance, but I think one of the stands was certainly closed. So yeah, not that bothered in the grand scheme of things, but disappointed that some of the backup players didn't do themselves any favours. And I think Chris Smith, we missed out on a good opportunity on your birthday, didn't we, from this?
Yeah, I think so the final was on the 7th of April, my birthday's the 9th, so I was, you know, I was one step away from having hotels booked and everything. But I think it's one of those ones where obviously in the general scheme of things, it doesn't matter, right? So, but I think that if we'd have gone out in the group stages, you would have been, all right, whatever, no one cares. But I think at this point, as Tom just said there, if we'd have won last night, we're in the last eight, right? And the draw's on Friday, and that's what, let me work that out quickly, but maybe it's two or three games from Wembley, isn't it? If that, I think, I don't know if the semi-final's two legs, but yeah, I just think when you've got this far, it's just real shame. And I think if you look at the interviews with Warne and Brad, they were wounded, weren't they? I mean, I don't think they were putting it on. Like Bradley and Warne were really, they seem proper gutted that they sort of messed it up. And I think there was a bit of talk as well. Bradley was saying about some of the, even the senior players in the team had never played at Wembley before. So everybody was, I think the players were kind of talking about it. So I think it's just disappointing, really. As I say, it's obviously not the end of the world. And, you know, it's not something you're going to hang Warne over. But to get this far and blow it like that was a bit of a wounder.
Yeah, disappointing. But at least, I guess it saves us the embarrassment of losing to Brighton's under-21s in the final, I suppose. So, you know, every cloud. I mean, on the performance itself, Chris, you put yourself through it and watched the whole 90. Yeah, as Tom alluded to there, a big, big chance for squad players to stake a claim. Callum Elder, Joe Ward, Thompson, who, to be fair, was sort of edging back into the first team anyway, but Louis Sibley, the perennial fringe player. And it seems like none of them really took it, did they? So disappointing in that sense.
No, and I think that, you know, I mean, you're right. And, you know, I think that's been the main gist of the post-match debrief that, you know, none of the fringe players took their chance. And that obviously then raises a question, well, you know, are the fringe players good enough to, if anybody in the first team, you know, gets injured or suspended or whatever. But yeah, I think it was just so disjointed. I mean, in fairness, there was five or six changes. So, you know, a lot of people there have not played many minutes, but yeah, it was just, it was really, we weren't at the races. And, you know, you can understand people who haven't played being a little bit, you know, kind of just ring rusty, for want of a better phrase. But I think that you just seemed a little bit sort of pedestrian and a little bit slack. And I was disappointed he took Thompson off, actually. And I thought he could have left him on and then put Bird and Hurahan with him and, you know, have the legs with the one thing. I don't think you can put this on Warne at all, because he was monumentally let down by the players, because whoever was on the pitch last night, we should have won. But the one thing I would say, and I think he did a similar thing at Fleetwood, is that he didn't seem to have any balance there. You know, it was either all the reserve midfielders, for want of a better phrase, or and then he just put Hurahan and Bird on with no legs with them, where what it needed was a bit of balance. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and again, Joe Ward, who played I mean, he was brutal. Joe Ward was, you know, he started the season. I think we'd all, you know, kind of signed a worldie there. And yeah, he had a torrid. I mean, he played the full game and he was woeful. It was not a good night at the office, Chris, at all.
One of our patrons, Chris, said that he thinks Jason Knight was a better right back than Joe Ward, and he wasn't even meant to play there. Tom, it wasn't a performance to inspire strength in the squad, was it? Like, do any of those players? I mean, let's not write them all off immediately. They're going to have ups and downs, and they're going to feature in the running. They're going to have to, because we're going to need him. But it's not the best of signs, is it, for having those players to rely on when we get to the business end of the season?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think there is a player in Joe Ward somewhere, and I think there's performances in a lot of those players, such as Sibley as well, every now and then that pull something out of the bag. But yeah, it's just the consistency element. And the thing that struck me about it was, after the game, I'm just going to quote Warne here. He said, "No one intends to go and play poorly, but there was an averageness to the performance which was disappointing. It was the level of our performances for the next few months, then you don't have to get too excited." So that's the kind of concerning thing, is Warne saying that if we play like that, then we're going to be in serious trouble. It's a bit of a kick up the backside to the players, as in they went into that not fully prepared, not maybe taking it seriously enough. And if they don't, you can see what happens at that level. And I think we all also had that with the first round replay against Crewe, where we actually played pretty well in the first game, and I was surprised we were 2-0 down, and then got it back to 2-2, thought it should have been 2 or 3-0 in the replay at home, and we were absolutely played off the park and lost 3-1. So I think I would take the poor performances in any cup competition over a league at the moment, but I do think Derby need to pick it up, and I think one of those players who are one of the backup players need to step up in the next few months.
Yeah, well, I guess think of it this way. If we could have had a win over Fleetwood and then losing in a effectively a not very important cup competition, then I think that's the way most fans would have had it. But Chris, we were both on that terrace at Fleetwood on Saturday. Great old day, wasn't it? Lovely trip to the seaside. Had a lovely old time.
Yeah, good day out. Not the nicest place in the world, I would suggest. Perhaps don't book a week there. I wouldn't take the family, but yeah, it was all right for us, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, I saw the tram. That was good. The terrace was fantastic. As I keep banging on about, I saw the stand behind a stand down the side, which was just an absolute oddity that I just couldn't quite believe my eyes when I saw that. That was incredible. We laughed at Charlie Adam for a bit. That was quite good. An interesting performance because we were comfortable at halftime. We were pretty much the better team for about 60 or 70 minutes. There's maybe a 10 or 15 minute spell where we were under it a bit. They got in down our left, down the right a few times. That's where the goal came from. But overall, it was efficient. It was professional. And yeah, I don't know about you, Chris, but the Max Bird's little drop of the shoulder and feint and little jig into the box in the 90th minute, I just think spoke volumes about how much he's improved, how much our levels have gone up in the past 2 or 3 months, and how much Warne is really getting out of these players now on this great run that we're on, Chris.
Yeah, I thought Max was brilliant on Saturday, and I was pleased for him as well because he got a bit of unwarranted abuse, I think, in the week before, because if somebody made a comment, I think Warne had said something like, oh, he's been offered a contract and I don't really know where it's at. And then, of course, everybody piles in going, well, if you don't want to be here, just get him gone. And I just don't think that's fair at all. You know, just it'd be ridiculous for him to sign a new contract with us at this point in the window. So I was really pleased with him because he has wobbled the last couple of games and I thought he was superb on Saturday. I mean, he's my favourite player. I think he's, when he's on it, I think he's our best player. And yeah, that, as you say, that little clever bit of flick through for Mendes for the first one and his little cameo into the box at the end was class. But yeah, I mean, I think Saturday was quite sort of symptomatic of this team and the run in general, really. And you look at it and you think, you know, we've gone away from home, we've scored 3 goals, we've won 3-1. And, I think back to previous promotion campaigns or success, even Lampard era, a good season, and you came away from away wins and you were like, oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, we battered them and it was amazing and this guy's amazing. And, you know, we win these games and we come away and you're like, yeah, it was all right. people say to me, well, how was it? I said, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, win's a win's a win. And, you can't really say a lot more than that. And there's no control, I think, in a lot of these games. And I said to you on Saturday, Chris, that it was odd on Saturday because we got those 2 goals just before half time. Brilliant. We obviously have more quality than them, which, and a bit of cutting edge. So we get 2-0. The first 10 minutes, we were all over them, weren't we? And I thought, oh, this, let's have a real statement 4-5-0. Then we didn't get that third goal. And then that thing happened that I've mentioned to you before. This sometimes happens in warm ball where literally nothing happened for 20 minutes. There was 20 minutes from, probably, just about 10 minutes into just before their goal, where literally just nothing happened. Like the game just seemed to go on. And it just drifted by. And then all of a sudden, they had a couple of moments, then scored. And then all of a sudden, we've not killed the game off and then we're under the cosh again. And then, as it was on that occasion, Max got us out of jail. But that could quite easily on Saturday have gone the same way as Wickham or Peterborough or Portsmouth or any of these other horrible kind of late goals we've let in. And there's just no real control, is there? And I don't know, I feel like I'm being a bit mean really in sort of saying that, but I was having a similar conversation with somebody over Christmas where we were talking about the run that we're on and we were saying it's just a bit odd, you don't come away from any game like punching the air and going, oh yeah, it's brilliant, we beat Lincoln 2-0 and you're like, yeah it was all right, how we play, like, yeah it was all right, win's a win's a win. And then the amount of times I've said that this season, well, win's a win's a win, I'm bored of saying it.
Is that just because though, Chris, like so many of the games in this division are games that most of our fans expect us to win? I mean, I always wondered if, because people talked about, when we were in the third tier in the 80s and how it was like the best season ever and it's better than being in the second tier and every week was a party and that sort of thing. I'm not really feeling that sort of, that experience right now being in the third tier, but maybe that's because we're not quite at the business end. Yeah, I don't know. Or is it just the fact that Derby are a big fish in this division and should be putting away teams like Fleetwood? So when we do, it's just like, right, job done.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is really. I just think there's an undercurrent with the whole thing where, you cannot argue with this run, right? And I give Warne every credit in the world. I was all for him, walking after Stevenage, but you can't knock the guy for the results and him turning it round. And I just think there's this thing where I feel like we win and everyone's like shrugs their shoulders and says exactly the sort of things we've just been saying. And then every time we lose,
it's a disaster.
Last night, oh, it's a disaster, and hey, this is wrong, and Watton's an idiot, this is bull. Do you know what I mean? So maybe you're right, Chris. Maybe it is because we're a bit entitled and we think we've been in this league too long and we shouldn't be here or whatever it is. I don't know whether it's a style thing. I definitely think that Rosinha doing what he's doing at Hull's not helping anybody in the PR department. And, you know, and so it's, I just find the whole thing a little bit odd, but, you know, as I say, you know, you can't knock the results, and definitely the one thing we've got to do is get out of this league. And, you know, I think right here, right now, Warren's obviously the guy to do that.
What do you think the best result this season has been?
In terms of
coming away and being like, yes, what a result! Like
Blackpool away.
I think either Blackpool or Oxford were the two that were in my head, and
yeah, maybe Oxford.
You know, those two are the two teams that we've gone away and been like, oh, I don't think we're going to get a result, and we've gone and battered Blackpool, and we've also done fantastically well against Oxford. There was something in that night where even at 2-0 down, Derby were creating chances and had the opportunities to go and do it. Then if you look at the other teams that we played, maybe Peterborough as well, like we had that spell, didn't we, which was crazy. But teams that we played sort of around us, so if you think like Stevenage and like obviously Bolton and Portsmouth, right, where we've not really got the result and not had maybe the luck of the draw and things like that. Then the Wickham game has been a bit sort of disappointing with the last minute penalty when controlling it. And as you say, it's two things for me. It's style, because the football can be incredibly boring. And I think the best performance I've seen live was the, I would say, 55 minutes against Wigan away on Boxing Day. I thought we were great in the first half. In the first 10 minutes, we should have been 4-0 up. We weren't. And then for 20 minutes, nothing happened. And I really liked what you said there, Chris, because I totally agree. The game drifted and then suddenly Wigan got a bit of a grip on it. And it was like, are we going to hang on? And I was always confident that we were, because I thought Wigan were awful. But that's the thing. The other team are pretty ordinary. And then they go and score. We make a mistake, or they score a worldie or something like that, and they go and score, they get themselves back into it, and the next thing you know, that Derby on the back foot, and we shouldn't be. We should be 3 or 4-0 up against some of these teams. And I think for me, it's the style, and then it's also the lack of control. I think those two things make it not exciting, and also make it just sort of like we're plodding our way through this league, and I'm just waiting for us to turn the corner and turn on a bit of style.
I'm happy for us to plod. That's absolutely fine. But what I wanted to ask you both is the issue of fatigue and squad depth, because I mean, look, I'm desperate not to tempt fate at all, but it was around January, Feb that the run ended last season, and then the wheels came off a bit and we had a few results that ultimately cost us a place in the playoffs. I just look at how this team plays and how, you know, we do beat teams with our intensity and what have you, but and by throwing people forward and committing physically. And I just wonder how long we can maintain it for, and whether the Bradford defeat highlighted the fact that, look, have we got the depth to keep it up, basically? like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Bolton and Portsmouth and Peterborough will have their injury problems as well, but are you at all concerned about, not history repeating itself on last season, but just us sort of running out of legs, Chris, at all?
I think we've just got to be a bit careful with last night in terms of he changed like 5 or 6 players, okay? So if you take it that, let's say, Max Bird gets a knock or Hourihan gets suspended or something, then you're only going to bring one piece out at a time. So I don't think it's ever going to... I don't think we can look at last night and go, oh my word, if anybody gets injured, we're screwed, because it wouldn't be that case, would it? It'd be a 1-for-1 more than a 5-for-5. But I do take the point. I mean, there's a couple of areas. I mean, if you look at... So if Collins, I mean, who thought we'd ever say this, but right here, right now, if Collins got injured or was out for any period of time, we literally have not a single fit centre forward in the club. And again, you know, if Mendes gets injured, well, he's your match winner. So we are massively reliant, I think, on a couple of, you know, our sort of star players. You know, I think if anything happened to cash in Mendes or Collins right now, I think it's a problem. I think legs is probably, I'd be less worried about that, because when you talk about legs, you're really talking about midfield. And I think one thing that Fauna and Liam Thompson can both do is run around a lot. And I think I'm a massive fan of Liam, and I think Fauna just needs time on the pitch. He's obviously a bit raw, but he has got, you know, he is athletic. He can get around the pitch. And I think him being on there with better players, I don't think he'd let you down as such. So, yeah, I'm less worried about legs. I'd be more worried about losing some of our kingpins.
Yeah, let's also forget there is Corey Smith to come in as well. Like, I'm not quite sure what's happened to him, but he's an option as well. Look, Tom, we're going to come back in a minute, but I've got a real treat for you now, because over on the SBW Patreon this month, our extra podcast for our members is a At The Match special recorded on the terraces at Fleetwood. So we do a few different sorts of extra podcasts for our patrons, and one of them is what me and Tom do. We quite enjoy, actually. Just get the old voice notes going in the away end. Job done. So look, this is our latest one, which was myself and Phil over at Fleetwood Town away just a few days ago. And here is the moment when Nathaniel Mendes-Lang opened the scoring. Plenty of good positions out wide, but no real decent end product really so far, is it? Crosses, yeah, in the box or chances to shoot.
That was the right idea, wasn't it? You know, Collins, it was aimed for the near post. Collins was there, got something on it, but nothing really. And then I want to see the replay, but I feel like Nelson, if he'd anticipated the second ball better, he could have got a toe on the end to stab it in, but it didn't quite happen and the keeper got there.
Chance!
Yeah! Yeah!
To Derby, Mendes-Lang. Lovely stuff. So, look, if you want to hear the full podcast of me and Phil shouting quite a lot, then head over to patreon.com/Steve Bloomers Washing.
Hi, I'm Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, and you're listening to Steve Bloomers Washing.
Jamie Ward. Nice ball in. Super finish. That should seal it for Derby. Chris Martin with his 22nd goal of the season.
So look, part two, Steve Bloomer's Washing, myself, Chris Smith and Tom Martin here. We're just talking about January and what might happen. And yeah, it's famously a difficult time to really get any value in the window. That's the point that Kutch always makes, that it's just, you know, it's tricky for buying clubs and selling clubs. But I don't know, what I think Warner said publicly that we are very close to getting a couple in. I sense a little bit of frustration at times, maybe from him. And I don't know, it's difficult to read between the lines and if he's getting what he wants in terms of the players in and the funds and the recruitment. But if, hypothetically, Chris, we do have to see a couple go, it looks like Cashin is staying, which is great. Max Bird, TBC. But it feels like we could be in a position where we have to maybe sell to buy. I don't know. But if we were to lose players from this current Derby squad, are there any that you do see as expendable and who you wouldn't maybe mind going out the Pride Park exit door?
I mean, there's a fair few out of contract. I think Barkhausen wouldn't surprise me if he moved on. I just never feel that Warn rates him. I don't think he's ever really kind of, I just think he pays him lip service. And again, he flatters to deceive a lot, doesn't he, Barkhausen? I don't dislike him, but wouldn't surprise me to see him move on. Here's one for you. What do you guys think about JJ? I know we're talking about selling people, but there's a lot of, because there's a decision to make on him. And I just wonder whether, I just don't really understand why, you know, persevere with him instead of getting someone who can play 20 games.
Yeah, I'd agree. I thought the first goal, the Mendes-Lang goal on at the weekend, Collins does really well to battle with the centre-back and win the ball. And it's JJ who I think flicks the ball forward towards Max Bird, who then flicks on to Mendes-Lang. But apart from that, in terms of game contribution, I know he scored a couple of goals back in December and November, but like, he hasn't really done anything and he doesn't look like he fits into the team and the system. And as you said, Chris, earlier, if Collins got injured, would you trust him being up front on his own? And I wouldn't. So I would certainly be saying, thanks very much. You've done a decent enough job for us. Got a couple of vital goals, but let's see what else we can bring in. And I think that is the area where I would look to strengthen, would be up front. But Barkhuizen, I was really excited by his signing, 18 months ago. I thought he was going to be a really good player. He had that good spell in January last year. I think he scored 4 in 3, but then he didn't score again for 8 months. And it's frustrating. I would certainly be looking to move him on. And actually, if the right bid came in for Max Bird, I think in midfield, if we were going to be able to strengthen and get a centre forward, if the right bid came for Max Bird, I would be willing to take that loss. I think he's a fantastic player. I can't understand the criticism of him. I thought he was brilliant on Saturday as well. But I think that might be... I think we've got enough in midfield where we go. We have got enough quality and creativity in that middle and enough legs and energy to cover the loss of Max Bird to strengthen up front. And I think that would be the sacrifice that I would make.
Yeah, Chris, we're talking about this at the weekend and Phil made the point. He was speculating if we hold out for some sort of compensation fee for Bird in the summer. I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure how that particular part of the game works, but, you know, Hull have been possibly sniffing around. I think I saw a picture on X of someone claiming they saw a scout at a game recently. It's all very much 2 and 2 equals 5, but he's come on so much and, you know, 2 assists against Fleetwood really seems to have grown into the game when he's named as captain. Like, how likely do you think it is that he is a Derby player in February?
Well, I mean, I was thinking kind of, I mean, does the Cavalio signing for Hull change it? I don't think it does because, you know, a few people are saying, well, they won't come for Bird anymore, but I think it's a different type of player, isn't it? You know, Cavalio is obviously a, you know, kind of one of those superstar loans I was talking about earlier. They're hoping is going to elevate them, whereas Bird would go straight into the engine room, wouldn't he, as a permanent fixture? And obviously Rescinia likes him and he's a versatile player. So if he goes anywhere, I think he'll definitely go to Hull. It's a bit of a stick or twist scenario, really, isn't it? And I think with cash in, I think you would have like said you would say to Brighton now, you know, if you want to you pay silly money or forget it, because I think if we lost him, that would be a major dent into our promotion hopes. I think as much as I love Max, I kind of agree with Tom. There are enough legs around him, and I saw we've been linked with that kid. Is it Arbelaster, the guy from Sheffield United who was at Port Vale? So if you brought someone like him in on loan to replace Max, then you know, yeah, okay, I could maybe go with it. And then if there's like a 750 grand or £1 million or whatever we get, that we can then drop on a centre forward who, as I said earlier, comes in, scores 7 goals and gets 7 assists. Well, that gets you promoted, doesn't it? So Bird probably, he's not irreplaceable, but I think we'd miss him, obviously. But I think, you know, I agree with Tom. I think if he's the one you would get money for, because everybody else is, you know, who's out of contract, you get, you know, you're going to get peanuts. You're looking at, if you think of like Barkhuizen and JJ and people, you're just talking about freeing up wages.
Yeah, and I think Derby have got a history over the last sort of maybe decade, even longer perhaps, but of holding on to players when we should let them go a little bit earlier. And I think we've almost missed the boat with Max Bird in terms of getting the most amount of money we could have done for him. And I really do hope there's the fantasy element inside my head, which goes, he loves Derby, he's been through the academy, he signs a contract and we let him go in the summer, especially if we don't get promoted. If we do get promoted, he sticks around. I really do hope that happens. But realistically, the money we will get if we sell Max Bird this window isn't the true value for him, and we'll lose out on it. My understanding of the compensation, Chris, is if he's under 24 and we offer a contract on better terms, then we would be entitled to compensation, but it will go to a tribunal. So it depends whether we're willing to gamble that, and we'd have to prove how much we've invested in him and what we were thinking of the value. And it's very much luck of the draw kind of thing, as my understanding. So knowing Derby, we'd end up with 100K or something stupid like that. So I think Max Bird would be the one to sell if we're going to bring someone in like Arbelaster and bring in a centre forward. If we're not, I would actually prefer to stick with what we've got.
Not sure we'd fancy that. I think we've probably had enough of lawyers for the past couple of years, haven't we? I'd say, you know, we've put Nick DeMarco's kids through college in the past in the past 2 years. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, talk about out of contract players there. One that really did come out of the blue was Mendes Lang's contract extension. Brilliant news. I mean, I was genuinely very surprised by that for a few reasons. Like, you know, 31 and having arguably the best season of his career, or best 2 seasons in total. So I thought maybe he would have got one last big gig in a championship. I mean, there were a couple of rumours about teams looking at him, but I don't think there's ever anything concrete or proven. But, you know, Tom, he could have said, with the form he's in at the moment, he probably could have said to his agent, like, you know, look, get me a championship move in January or the summer, and probably could have got better wages, played a better players in a better division for a better team. But all credit, you do have to give credit to Warren for getting him to stay, and not just to the end of next season, but the season after as well. Seems a real coup to lock him down for a couple of years.
Yeah, I think it actually works out nicely for both parties. He's quite openly admitted that Derby have reignited his love for football, which he seemed to suggest that he was almost on the verge of giving up, especially after the sort of difficulties he had, I think it was at Cardiff. And so Derby have done good for him, and therefore he's comfortable and he's happy here. Presumably he's settled with his family. And so therefore a two-year deal for someone 31 is really good news for him. And I think it suits Derby as well. I think he'll be an asset in the Championship if we're to go up, and certainly he'll be a big part to play in League One if we were not to go up. So I think it's a really positive move for both teams and both sides of the party.
Chris, I've got this working theory. I just feel like I've seen it quite a few times where players play really well to get a new deal.
Oh, no.
And then their levels noticeably drop when they get a big deal. Maybe, no, I'm not for one second saying that NML is doing that, but like, I just really sincerely hope that he keeps up this form that he's in to the end of the season. Because he's going to be arguably our match winner, our game changer, who could have a huge say in whether we go up or not, couldn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was absolutely loving the news right up to the point I heard Paul Warren used to say, we did it 2 months ago, but we kept it on the D-Lo. When he said that, I think I'd rather him sign for Forest under-23s as their captain. But aside from Warren's appalling banter, it's obviously awesome news. And you are right, and we said it earlier in the chat, that he's our superstar, isn't he, at this level for sure. And I think he'll be effective in the Championship as well if we get there. And he has found a home. And, I think it was literally the interview with you guys where he was, I've watched that interview you did with him, which is brilliant, where he's talking about these troubles and him falling out of love with the game and all that kind of stuff. But as I say, he is the matchman. It's brilliant news. And yeah, let's hope he doesn't do a George Thorne and get that new contract in the bank and then fall off a cliff and never be seen again.
I'm glad someone else believes in this theory too. Well, look, you've both mentioned it, so it'd be rude of me not to play the clip itself. Like, as we said, we were lucky enough to meet Mendes Lang towards the end of last season, about 10 months ago in March. Went to Moor Farm and had a good chat with him. And he's been very candid about his off-the-field troubles, served a three-month ban, I think it was 3 months, for drug-related offences while at Cardiff, and has struggled and moved around the country. But when we spoke to him, this was Nathaniel Mendes Lang telling us how Derby helps him fall back in love with football after he almost quit the game altogether.
There was a point where I was, I was half like, I just don't really know if football's for me, I'm not really...
You thought about giving up altogether?
Yeah, like, I loved the game, and then I was just like, it's just, it's not all it's cracked up to be for a bit. And then, the politics that came with it, and I just thought, like, oh, is it really for me? And then obviously I was away from football for a little bit. There was times when I thought, I feel happy now, but then I felt like I did miss it. So then, I went to Middlesbrough, and then I was there for a bit again. I don't know whether this was part of having kids or being far away, but it was just, I was missing like my kids being born and Christmas and whatnot, and I was just like, I'm falling out of love with it again. And to be fair, I came here late as well. I think the boys had been in for like a few weeks already. And as soon as I walked through the door, I was just like, this is where I want to be. Like, I love it. And, I haven't looked back since. Like, I'm in such a good place.
So Derby and the manager sort of helped you fall back in love with football.
In a way, you could say that.
So, that was NML when we spoke to him last season. Just check out our socials if you want the link to the full interview on that one. Fantastic stuff from you both. Look, I was thinking long and hard about whether to put this in, sneak this in a running order, but as soon as I saw it, my eyes just lit up and I thought, I've got to ask Tom about this. Tom, your favourite player of all time, Jesse Lingard, has reportedly offered himself to Barcelona. That's to repeat, Jesse Lingard has offered himself to Barcelona in a bid to reignite his stop-start career. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. What did you make of that when you saw it?
Well, I saw it on our Discord and I actually deleted that chat. I had to mute that chat, so I have no idea what conversation was happening. The guy is absolutely clueless. Come on. Is he playing like his own sort of FIFA pro? Oh, it's ridiculous. He was a bang average player for us. He's been a bang average player throughout his career. He had a good goal against Crystal Palace in the FA Cup and a good half season or so for West Ham. But he is beyond ordinary. So it doesn't surprise me he's offering himself to Barcelona, because it says a lot about Barcelona at the moment. They used to be a great club and now they're a shambles. So they're welcome to each other.
Chris, I did hugely enjoy the comment that you made off the back of this. Come on, let's hear it.
Oh, I said that I'd offered myself to Michelle Keegan, Laura Woods and Maya Jama. And I'm just waiting for him to get back to me. But I think if he's doing that, why not? You know,
if you don't buy a ticket, etc.
Yeah, I know some dark stuff about Laura Woods' boyfriend. I could tell her, I can tell you.
Do tell.
That must be a whole different podcast episode. Yeah. I'm assuming both of you saw Paul Scholes' Instagram comment to Jesse Lingard. I'm seeing blank faces, so I can't wait to tell you this one. Well, there was a video that Jesse Lingard put up of him, I don't know, dicking about in the gym or pretending to lift some weights or something. Paul Scholes commented, and I quote, "Are you just going to fuck about in the gym or are you going to actually play football?" And that was Paul Scholes who said that to him. Just absolutely roasted him. Yeah, what more do you say about him as a TikToker, as a footballer, as a player? Hilarious stuff. So, look, just had to mention it before we finish. But Chris, the Brewers on Monday, Burton Albion in front of the Sky cameras. That's going to be a thriller, isn't it? The pitch is an absolute like farmyard at the moment, isn't it? It's bloody awful.
It is. Yeah, I don't know. Well, obviously we've had a monumental amount of rain, but yeah, you're right. I mean, I did. It was noticeable as well. I mean, I think against Peterborough, you could see the bits on the edge cutting up, but it was really noticeable last night. It was not in good shape. So yeah, hopefully the guys can get some repairs done for that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Burton Albion, as you say, I don't think anybody's going to be banking their Sky subscription on that one, are they, Monday night? But yeah, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be one of them. Well, wins a win's a win. I mean, I'm definitely in that. I mean, I hate Burton Albion. I'm not one of these who thinks, you know, they're our cuddly, friendly neighbours. You know, I'd have, you know, their pub team, get them back in the pub leagues. That's what I say. And so, yeah, hopefully we smash them. And again, and onwards and upwards.
Tom, do you agree with that? It's going to be literally agricultural, isn't it? It's going to be one for the purists, I reckon, on Monday night.
I'm late at work, so I think I might have to miss it. It's a shame.
Is that on purpose? Or
you deliberately changed his shift.
No, unfortunately, it's a fortnightly senior team meeting, which happens every Monday, so we'll probably be late. I'll catch it at some point, but it won't be the probably won't be the kickoff at that. So yeah, what a shame. Derby have been on TV quite a few times in the last few weeks, which is kind of nice, but I think I've managed to see about 25 minutes of it in total, because I've been out and about and doing things and had pre-arranged plans, not expecting Derby to be on the TV, so haven't been able to rearrange them because it's seeing family and stuff like that. So it will actually be nice to sit down and watch Derby Burton live rather than having to catch up on some recordings afterwards.
And we are even saving yourself for a trip to glorious Cathedral City, Lincoln. That we've got that one bagged, haven't we, Tom? That's gonna be brilliant. Can't wait for that. Yeah,
very excited with that one. That's one of two grounds, Fleetwood the other one that I've not been to in League One. So yeah, we can get promoted now. Been to Lincoln.
good to know. Chris, are you at Lincoln as well, will we?
Yep, booked the parking in Tesco last night. so yeah, we are ticketed up and we're all going to be there.
Fantastic. Well, look, Chris, thanks ever so much for joining us. See you at Sinsel Bank. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And Tom, same to you. Thanks for your time,
all
man.
All the best, guys.